Hello, CPC. Oh, good morning, CPC.
Good morning.
Wow, okay. I hope you guys had a good Christmas. And I'm sure if you are like me, we are kind of living in that weird vortex of the week in between Christmas and New Year's where we don't really know what day of the week it is. But we know we've eaten a lot of cheese and probably should drink some water and eat a vegetable. That's where I'm at. I'm not sure about you. Oh, I lost my intro page. That's a fun joke. Okay, that's cool. It's all good. I'm preaching on the Holy Spirit today, so he'll help. He'll help, right? We've been in this series, The Descendant, talking about Jesus, the one who came, and the anticipation of that and why. Why did he come? And he's here with us now. And now what? Christmas came, Christmas went, we were filled with the joy and the anticipation of the season, and now it's done. And I think a little bit like the in-between of this week, we can kind of ask ourselves too, like, what's next? And I think maybe that the disciples were asking the same thing. I just want to say hi to all the kids in the house, because I know you're joining us today. What's up? 6'7". Okay, that's it. Okay. That was for the kids, not for the teenagers. I know you guys are all like, oh my gosh. We're going to read from the book of Acts today, and we're going to start with Acts 1, verse 1. In my former book, this is Luke writing, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, and in all of Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up intently to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood behind them. Kids, imagine that. Just picture that. Just two dudes all of a sudden standing there. And they said this: "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will someday come back. He will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." What an interesting little passage. Jesus has come. The disciples have spent this incredible time with him in his years of ministry on the earth. He promises them something to come, then he dies, then he rises again, and then he ascends. This is the ascension that we're reading about here. I kind of think about this week in between Christmas and New Year's, and I think maybe the apostles were kind of feeling this, like, what the heck just happened? What day is this? I've eaten too much cheese, maybe. They were sort of like, what's going on? I don't know if anybody here has seen the movie The Incredibles, kids, Mr. Incredible. Do you remember that scene where Bob, Mr. Incredible, he pulls into his driveway and in his car kind of like gurgles as he parks it and it goes, which I used to have a car that did that. It was a 1984 Dodge K car and it was poo brown and it gurgled every time I turned it off and it was very embarrassing. Anyways, Bob pulls into his driveway and he gets out of the car and slams the door and there's this kid sitting on a tricycle. Do you remember what happens? Bob says, "What are you waiting for?" What does the kid say? Anybody remember? "I don't know. Something amazing, I guess." Maybe that's what was happening with the disciples when these two men appear and say, "What are you doing standing here looking at the sky?" I picture them like that little boy, "I don't know, waiting for something amazing, I guess." After this, the disciples went back to Jerusalem and met up with all their pals and began to pray and worship. They knew they could do that. They knew that they could do the things that they had been instructed to do. So today, we're going to talk about what's next. What's next? After the descendant ascended, what did he leave with us? And that's the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I praise you and I thank you that you're here among us now. I thank you that by your Spirit, we can walk in all truth. That you didn't leave us alone, but that you gave to us the gift that would bring us through these days until the work is finished. We open our hearts to what you would have to speak to us now. Help me to be receptive to your word. Help me to deliver it as you would. Amen. My intro page was really good, but it was probably better that I left it. I did say most of it, but. So Jesus came, then he left, and he promised us the Holy Spirit. This is what's next. And today I want to talk about five reasons why you and I need the Holy Spirit in 2026 and always. Number one, Jesus promised us the Spirit because we simply cannot follow him on our own. In the Gospels, Jesus talks a little bit, well, he actually talks quite a bit about the Holy Spirit and who was to come after Jesus was finished his ministry on earth at that time. And in John chapter 14, there's a few verses that we're going to just read here. I won't read the whole passages, but in verse 15, it says this, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him because he neither sees nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Moving down to verse 23, Jesus repeats, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them. We will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings." Verse 25, "All this I have spoken while with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." Jesus says twice in this passage that loving him equals obeying his commands. But we know from reading the gospel that the commands that Jesus gives us to live by, the way of Jesus, is a fairly tall order. And so he does not give us the command without also promising help. Both times we read that. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands." And he promises the helper of the Holy Spirit to empower and enable us to be able to live like Jesus and follow him. In this passage, the Holy Spirit is called the Helper, he's called the Advocate, and he's called the Spirit of Truth. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, when we make that decision, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And this is what comes with that. He is the Spirit of all truth. He is the Advocate, another word that is used, advocate is defined in the Bible in biblical ways of to convince with evidence. So a lawyer, he is the one who will go before you and prove your case. And he is also the one who will prove his own case, the case of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God's own presence within us, sent so that we are not trying to live the Jesus way in our own strength. The second reason why you and I need the work of the Holy Spirit, or we need the Holy Spirit in 2026 and always, is that his primary work is to point us to Jesus. I don't know about you, but nowadays there's a lot of things that are pointing us in a lot of different directions. The world is telling us to live your truth. Just live your truth. It might not be my truth, but live yours. Jesus tells us in this book of John that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And what the Holy Spirit does is he points us to that and reminds us of who Jesus is. It says in chapter 15, verse 26 of John, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, this Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Jesus tells us here that the Spirit will testify about him, will teach us about who he is, will remind us of his words in the gospel. I've heard many people say, like, wouldn't it have been so much easier if we were one of the disciples just walking with Jesus? It'd be so much easier to believe. But I actually don't think so. If you read the Gospels, they are full of ongoing struggle for the disciples to understand and to believe. Jesus talks in confusing puzzles and pictures, and they're often like, is he saying this? Do you think I'm at his right hand? Are you? And they're constantly in confusion. I don't think that you or I are above any of these disciples. But what we have that they didn't have is the Holy Spirit to translate, to help us to understand. There's this one part, and I'm not going to read it because I don't remember what verse it is, but one of the disciples is like, he asks in the passage we read, "Now are you going to do this?" And Jesus is like, "It's not for you to know." And they're like, "You always speak to us in pictures and we never understand." And then he goes on and explains some other stuff. And there's this verse and they're like, "Oh, now we understand." And when I read that, I was like, "But do you? I don't think you do. I think you're still confused." You and I have the Holy Spirit to help lead us into all truth, and that truth is Jesus. I think now more than ever, we need a voice leading and guiding us. One that is not AI, that when you see it, or when you hear it, or when you read it, you are not constantly wondering, is this fake? This is real. The Word of God is real. Jesus is real, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to point us towards that truth. So we're not living our truth in 2026. Praise God, we get to live by the truth, the one truth that is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit helps us understand who Jesus is and helps us become more like him. He empowers us to live Jesus' life and ways in our world. The third reason why you and I need the Holy Spirit in 2026 and always is that the Acts, the book of Acts, is not the book of the apostles, the Acts of the apostles. It's actually the continuing work and acts of Jesus through you and I, through his people. At the beginning of Acts, Luke said, and we read this in chapter 1, in my former book, I wrote to you all that Jesus began to do and teach. Then we hear of Jesus ascending, but that word began is instrumental in us understanding that the work is not yet finished. That the work that we see in Acts is actually the new way of the kingdom that has been launched into action by Jesus coming and dying and rising again. What we see in Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of this new way of living. Acts is not a sequel where Jesus just steps back. It's his continuing work. The victory over sin and death already was won through the cross and through the resurrection, but the story isn't finished. Jesus gives us his Spirit because he invites us to participate in what he is still doing. Number 4. This is really great. Pentecost is not a denomination. All the Pentecostals said amen. I don't know if the others. We are so blessed. We are so blessed at CPC and in the Comox Valley to have such a beautiful representation of the body of Christ. And in this room, we have many denominations, people who have grown up in certain affiliations and associations with different evangelical bodies and fellowships. But Pentecost itself is not a denomination. Pentecost is about the harvest, it's about the Spirit, and it's about a new way of living, and that is for all of us. Yes, Pentecostal, Comox Pentecostal Church is a Pentecostal church. We are part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, but it just, the story of Acts 2 does not just belong to the denomination. So I'm going to explain a little bit about that. Pentecost was originally a harvest festival. It was a celebration of the harvest that was to come. And what would happen in old Israel is people would bring the first sheaf of wheat and sacrifice it as an offering of thanks and praise and pray for the harvest that is to come. I just think that's a really great picture. Later in Israel's story, we have the Passover where the children of Israel had been captive, and God's plan was to rescue them and to give them a new way forward. And so we have the Passover where the blood of the lamb was shed and put on the doorposts to help the children of Israel escape. And the celebration of the Pentecost began, the festival of the Pentecost, of the Passover. From that moment, 50 days later, when the children passed through the Red Sea, they came to Mount Sinai, and this is where Moses went up the mountain and received the law, the new way for the children of Israel to live, the instructions for how to now live as free people. In the Gospels, and then at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Jesus is revealed as the Passover lamb. The harvest was no longer just about the first sheaf, just about the wheat. But what it also became representation of was the Holy Spirit coming, much as Moses did with the law, with the instructions for how to live this new life that we have been given in Jesus. It is no accident that the timelines are this close, that things line up like this. Jesus was so intentional with how this story unfolded. So instead of just being Pentecost with the harvest, it now becomes Pentecost with the power of the Spirit, as we read in Acts 2, where we receive, as all believers, the power and the gift of the Spirit. We're going to read just a little bit. Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound of a blowing wind. Dang it. A blowing violent... Oh, I can't read anymore. Okay, just a sec. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to one another in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The story goes on, and we might wonder, how do we know this is for all of us? But in this same event, Peter gives a message. He addresses the crowd because a lot of people were confused, and this is where the advocate, the work of the Holy Spirit, who goes before us and proves our case, does his work. But he says, and he quotes the prophet Joel, "In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. On all of my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. They will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below," etc. Friends, what the apostles and the believers received that day was the empowerment by the Holy Spirit to live out the new way that we have in Jesus. A new freedom that we experience when we receive the power and transformation of Jesus. We need a new way to live. It doesn't just stop at salvation. Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to then empower our lives, to transform us, to be the one who instructs us and changes us and leads us and helps us know the truth. Doesn't that sound wonderful in a day and age when everything is so confusing? We need the Holy Spirit in 2026 because the work isn't finished yet. As I said before, Jesus didn't just leave and leave us here as orphans, like he said in his word. He gives us the Spirit. The Spirit, in this way, breaks the idea that ministry belongs only to the leaders who stand up on this stage. It was given to all sons and daughters. That means that every day what you do is crucial to the work of the kingdom. Friends, the mission of God is not driven by church programs. God's mission has a church, and it's driven by the Holy Spirit. I wrote this part down, and I'm really glad I didn't forget this page wherever I forgot my other page. I'm not a huge reflector on the year past or a looker onward to the year to come. I've never been good at that. I've never been great at journaling and sitting and having those moments of reflection like that in such an intentional way. I'm more of a live in the moment, act now, think later kind of gal. Most of my lessons I learn by way of error first and getting it right the next time, hopefully. However, I cannot help but look back on this past year and see that while filled with many challenges and hard times, as Mike talked about before, Jesus is doing a mighty work in the Comox Valley and in CPC. We had more than 50 people baptized in water. We had hundreds of youth coming into our building week after week, seeking the Lord, hungry for Jesus, ready for an absolute truth. Friends, this younger generation, they want an absolute truth. Our generations, we didn't. We were like, your truth, you make your own. Not these younger generations. They're like, show me the way and I will follow. And we are experiencing that here, and I don't think it's just confined to the Comox Valley. There is an openness and a hunger to the way of truth that is special. And it is not of our own doing. It is the Holy Spirit at work. We're seeing small groups bursting at the seams. We're seeing people come through the doors of our church and nobody invited them. They just came. Who does that? Apparently people in 2025. There are people in our church who have found Jesus and found life and transformation, and none of us had anything to do with it. They were brought here, summoned, compelled by the Holy Spirit, searching for something more. It's happening. There are friends inviting their friends, and their friends are saying yes. How many times have you invited and the answer has been no? Keep asking, because those no's are changing to yeses. And because of that, because of you, we saw well over 700 people come to our Christmas Eve services. Many of those were your invited guests. Well done. Friends, you and I are the 500 missionaries that we all joined in praying in 2025 for. And we are seeing the goodness of God in that. As we look to this next year, I can't also help but think with much fear and trembling that what if 2025 was just a foretaste of what is to come? What if it was the first sheath of the harvest? If that's the case, I don't want to just be a disciple who sits back and learns about Jesus. I want to be a disciple who is Holy Spirit welcoming, Holy Spirit depending, ever transforming, more and more like Jesus, fruit-bearing disciple whose life and joy and peace flow from an everlasting source that is not my own. The true source that spills over into every situation and area of my life. I want to join hands with the hearts and hands of this body in ever-growing faith and risk and obedience and in humility, all helped by the Holy Spirit. If 2025 was the first sheaf, I want to be more afraid of staying the same than of what might happen if I go all in and the world hates me for it. And I want to be so full of love in Jesus that that very world who hates him will come to know him. As we look back on 2025 and ahead to the next year, I'm so thankful that we have a body of believers here at CPC who are leaning in to the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit and trusting and willing to go out on a limb. I'm so thankful that as we continue to lean into Jesus together, he continues to be faithful and to provide. I'm so thankful that he is the one who is preparing and stirring the hearts of many. and we need more. I mentioned before, I'm not a great, sweetie, could I have a Kleenex? I didn't mean to like go full on snot, ugly cry. Thanks. I mentioned I'm not a great journaler. Oh, wow, sorry. But one thing that I do and that I need in my life regularly is spending time at the piano in worship on my own in the quiet. I don't make it quiet. I often make it quite noisy, but that's where my soul is refreshed in the spirit. And so what I want to do, because I don't know if you're like me, but I hope that you're hungry. And I wonder if maybe you are longing for more of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if there's an area in your life that, like me, could use a fresh reminder of the Holy Spirit's help or advocacy or comfort. In 2026, what might he be gently leading you towards? The conviction of the Holy Spirit is an act of grace, not of shame. It recalibrates us back to the way that brings life. Don't you want a little more of that? So, we're going to take a minute as I awkwardly move to the piano, and we're just going to worship and just give some time and some space for the Holy Spirit to do what he's so good at. There's no mustering. There's no emotional manipulation. But Jesus says, if you ask, I will give you what I have promised. And so we're going to do that. We're just going to spend a few minutes waiting. We're ahead of time. Imagine that. If my hair was down, I would flick it over my shoulder. We've got time. In my time of prayer this week and worship in the piano, there was a couple old songs that came to me. One of them is an old hymn that we're going to sing together. And then the other one is a song by a fellow named Kevin Prosh. And the song itself didn't come to me, but I just had this line going through my head, and I couldn't remember the song, that all of creation groans and waits. And that was just going through my head, and I want you to read those words. You may not know the song, and that's okay, but I'm going to sing it, and then we'll carry on in some more worship, just welcoming the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I thank you that you sent us your Spirit. I thank you that once we discover the life and freedom that you offer us, Jesus, that's just the beginning point of a life transformed. And I thank you that you offer us a new way, a new instruction by a new instructor that is the Holy Spirit. And I'm scared to ask, but Lord, if 2025 was a first sheath, was just a foretaste of a great harvest, then we need more of you. I need more of you in my life. I need you to empower me. We need you to embolden us. We don't want to stay the same, God. We see the work that you're doing, and we don't want to miss out. And so now we take a moment. We don't have to ask you to come, but we welcome you, and we say, come, come into my heart, my life right now, Holy Spirit, once again, and fill us afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.